Good morning. It's good to see you today. Scanning around. Thanks for being here. Man, wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
Honoring sons and daughters who've accomplished a pretty good, pretty important thing. We're so proud of you. I'm so grateful that we have sons and daughters to honor. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for great mentors and pastors and youth staff and Pastor Ryan and Alicia who do such a great job to invest in the lives of our sons and daughters. So fun. And let the festivities begin or continue. I remember graduation, it seemed like parties and parties and parties and lots of graduations. And so just what a fun time to celebrate a great accomplishment. Well, this morning, before we get too serious, since we get so serious so often, right? Church should be fun, amen? It is so life-giving to be here this morning. I want to honor a special face this morning. It's one of our missionaries. There he is, trying to do the scan. From Honduras, Earl Washburn is here. Would you stand up, Earl? So Earl's here. They've been missionaries to Honduras. I mean, I'm not even going to stab at the number of years, but he's here. And his wife's going to be here later in the summer, and she'll be sharing actually early September. But Earl, it's so good to see you. I know he's going to be here for a few weeks, and we just love you, and the work they're doing in Honduras is awesome. So, Earl, it's good to see you today. Awesome. And make sure to say hi to Earl after the service. God has done a lot through them and through their ministry in Honduras, and it's so fun to continually be connected to what God's doing down there. He's moving in our nation, and he's moving in the nations of the world. And it's, you read the newspaper, you watch the news, and sometimes it's very easy to get hopeless, right? It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to think, man, this things are falling apart, and there's no hope. And then I look at groups like what Earl and Sharon and the rest of the missionaries in Honduras are doing, and I look at what different people are doing in this nation, and I can see that there is hope.
Yes.
Amen? And this morning, I want to encourage you that there's hope. There's hope for your life. There's hope for your family. There's hope for your marriage. There's hope for your coworkers. There's hope for your tomorrows because of Jesus.
Yes.
Seniors, who we just honored, I want to encourage you today that there's hope for your future. Okay, there is hope for your future. We're talking this morning and yesterday we started a series that we're entitling Stamped by a Father. Okay, and it has everything to do with our identity in Christ. And last week we talked about the different things that want to mark us. Different things that want to stamp us. How many of you know that there's many influences in my life and many influences in your life that want to mark us?
Yes.
Right? We talked about it last week. And we're going to continue today to talk about identity. And this week I was thinking about it. So if you weren't here, I encourage you, get the message online. But you don't have to be here last week to let God speak to you this week. Right, it's okay if you weren't here or whatever, because God can speak to you today. It's not like, oh man, I guess I'm going to have to watch the first one first and then watch part two. It's not like Star Wars, right? You can get the gospel today and you can get encouraged today with your life. But I was thinking about this topic, and I'm really speaking to everyone today, but also the seniors who we honored. I believe it's just a timely message for what God's doing in your life and the season you're in. But I was thinking about it this week, and how many of you know that the activity that comes out of my life, whatever it is, my speech, my thoughts, my actions, the way I treat people, is a reflection of what's going on the inside at a heart level. Okay, my activity is my life is a reflection of what's happening on the inside. We've got to understand that, and we've got to get that in our hearts and our spirit, because have you ever been in a situation where you've encountered someone and you walk away going, why did they act like that? Has anyone ever been in that? And you like said hello and they're like totally freak out and like, I'm, they act like you're going to, like, you know, grab them and, you know, strangle them for a while. And you're just like, I was just giving you a hug. Right? And I'm thinking, why did you act the way you did? And I think we've got to understand that we are all shaped by our environment. And so when this person acts the way they do, I don't know why they act that way, but it's a reflection of what has gone on in their life up until that point. If they've been rejected or they've been hurt. You know, I have this anointing. People like to hit me. I don't know why. It's always been like that. They'll just come up and they will, you know, not seriously hit me hard, but they'll just come up. And I don't know if it's the guy thing. They're like, hey, Justin, how's it going? So I found myself, whenever someone was around, I would kind of start doing this. If they would approach too quickly, you know, because I'm like, are you, why'd you flinch? Did I scare you? No, I thought you were just going to hit me. So I'm that weird guy that you talk about, like, why did he just flinch, right? Because I don't know why, just people like to hit me. Just keep, you know, keep it away from the moneymaker and we'll be okay. You don't want to scratch a Lamborghini. But I think the idea is we're shaped by our environment. And so when someone acts either good or bad, it's a result of what has gone on in their life up until that point. And it's not just, well, he's flinching because he's weird, or he's doing this because of that. There's a reason why we act the way that we do. And I believe it has everything to do with who we are on a heart level. So last week, we talked about six areas that humanity tries to find their identity through. Okay, and we were all in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21, so I encourage you to read that scripture. And we're not going to reread it today. I'm trusting that, you know, if you were here last week, otherwise you can get on your Bible or on your phone and read that. But we talked about six areas that humanity in general tries to find their meaning from. And any time you try to get eternal affirmation or eternal value from something that is temporal, you're going to fall short.
Yeah.
So if I try to get my value from something that's going to be gone tomorrow, I'm going to end up being disappointed in my life. And you will as well, right? It's not just me. And then we briefly went over, as Christians, 9 or 10 different areas that God wants us to get our identity from. Because God has created us in his image, and there's certain things that we can do that we can get our identity from, and they're really from things that he says that we are. And so I'm just going to briefly go over those things again, because I got a little rushed last week, and I think they're important things, because if we are saying whatever we do in our life, our actions are a reflection of what's going on the inside, then we better be drawn from the right place and drawn from the right source. So we said this. We said we want to, as Christians, Christ followers, we want to get our identity from imitating God, was the first one.
Yeah.
Okay? Some people wear the bracelet. Some people put the fish on their car. If you are not a good driver, please don't put the fish on your car. And please, that's probably why we don't make church bumper stickers. You know? Have you ever gotten behind someone? Okay, we all have, and you're thinking, you're a Christian and you drive like that?
Yeah.
And I will not put one on my car or my wife's car for good reasons. But we want to be known as Christians as ones who are imitating God, that we become so God-focused that our life is centered around how I can be and how I can do and how I can act like that of what Jesus does, be, and acts like. Okay, so imitating God is a big one. Again, when your goal is to imitate God, life becomes really fun because it becomes an adventure. Because every time you walk into Mod Pizza, you have eyes open to say, God, how do you want me to love on this person that's in front of me or behind me. It makes coaching 8-year-olds in baseball a lot more fun when you have the purpose of how can I leave a lasting imprint on these kids that will last the rest of their lives. Not just, I'm just coaching the next, you know, Major League Baseball star, because I'm probably not. Right? It makes it a lot more fun when your goal in life is to imitate God. Number two, we talked about we find our identity by walking in love. Okay, similar to imitating God. Okay, that's your lifestyle. That's how do you invest in people? Are you generous with them? Are you loving to them? Do you go out of your way to care for the needs of others? We're called, that's what we're called to find our identity in, is these things that we find in Christ, okay? Continuing on, we find our identity by walking as children of the light. Okay, last week we talked about things that are done in secret. Things that are done in darkness. How many of you know when there's things that are in your life that are secret, that are dark, that are hidden, they have power over you? Yeah. Okay, they have power over you because they're hidden. And those voices could torment you. But when we walk in children of the light, they no longer can torment us in the same way because they're not hidden. And so when we walk in the light, and in the scriptures in 1 John, as he is in the light, we're able to walk in a new freedom that we didn't have before. Okay, so in 1 John 1:7, it says this, walk in the light as he is in the light, and then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this morning, we're all here, because we want to walk in the light. Okay, I am here this morning because I love God. You are here this morning because you love God. You are here this morning because you want to please God with your life. I am here this morning because I want to please God with my life. Okay, and when I walk in the light, that's why I have friendships. I don't have friendships just because I'm lonely and I'm bored. I have friendships because I want to walk in the light with my life. Because there's relationships that I've cultivated over the years that make me stronger, make me a better husband, make me a better father, make me a better person. Okay, I think one of the biggest lies that the enemy of our soul would want us to believe is the lie that says you have to keep your struggles to yourself. Right? How do I know that? Because it goes on in my head too. Oh, you can't tell anyone you struggle with that. Because if you struggle with that, and if you admit you struggle, then they're going to think you're weaker. Am I right? They're going to think you're weaker. They're going to think you're not a good Christian. But I grow as a husband. I grow as a man when I put things in the light. When I walk with others in the light. Okay, we're going to continue here because this is just the beginning part. Okay, we are identified by doing things that would please God. A lot of times our prayer is, God, we really want this. Would you make it work? And God says, no, would you just do what pleases me? Okay, so we want to be marked by doing things that please our Heavenly Father. Okay, continuing. Number 7, we're called to walk as wise. Okay, we talked about this one a little bit last week. I'm not talking sin. I'm talking, is it wise? Is it profitable? It might not be wrong, but is it going to help you in your long-term plan and your long-term goal? So we're called to walk as wise. Okay, we're going to continue. We're called to make the most of our time. You want to find out who you are, then be wise with the time that God has given you. And that's a challenging one because there's so many opportunities to waste time, isn't there? We're called, if we want to find out who we are in Christ, then be filled with the Spirit of God. Number 8, be filled with the Spirit of God. We talked about that. It's like wind, and we just have to position our sails. And then the last one I want to talk about briefly this morning is we want to find out who we are. And this one's really challenging. But you're going to find out who you are as you submit to one another. Because, and I have an awesome 11-year-old son who's not here today. And he is entering, which we would like to call, the preteen years. You know what I'm ready to call those preteen years? The I know everything already years. Hey, we're going to do this, right? And I don't know, hopefully that ends, right? Not when they're like 25, because that would be really, hopefully it ends like tomorrow, right? But the, oh, I don't need to know that, I already know that. Or no, this is what I'm doing. We've entered those years and it's exciting stuff. But we want to find out who we are. There has to be a willingness to submit to one another. In marriage, in relationship, in a church setting, saying, hey, I might not agree with you, but I'm going to be willing to hear what you have to say. Okay, so there's about 9 or 10 things that we are called to find our identity in. Not the things that the world wants to identify us by. So, we talked about a do list and we talked about a don't list. Thank you. We talked about a don't list, right? But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, does it? Because I've met so many Christians that they just say, if I can just go to church, serve people, give money, I'm going to do okay. Right? And unfortunately, Christianity isn't like that. It's not about do's and don'ts, but it's about walking in a new identity. Because I've met a lot of people that say, if I can just know what to do, check them off the list, and just try harder, I'm going to feel better about myself. And it doesn't work. Because I've met so many people that go through life, and they don't know who they are. And number two, they don't know whose they are. And so nothing they do to try to measure up to that will satisfy this identity issue that's going on in their heart. Because who we are is a reflection of whose we are. I, this week, met with a young gal in our church named Mary Dykes. And Mary had, God was just doing something in her heart the last month and a half, and she shared what God was saying. And I wanted her to share this morning because it was right on with what God was put on my heart. So I'm going to invite Mary to come up, and she's going to share for a few minutes.
Okay, this is what happened to me a long time ago, but... I became a Christian when I was about, I think I was like 24 years old, and it was obviously an exciting time in my life, and the Lord just showed himself to me in so many ways, and it's just it's exciting to be a Christian and to live with him. And but anyway, this testimony is about what happened maybe 15 years after I was a Christian. And my life is going pretty good, you know, everything's well, I look normal, you know, I'm a happy, fun person to be around, at least I think I am, but anyway, during this time, I'd say I was like in my 40s, I was experiencing a lot of turmoil, and I remember it as a time in my life of struggle. And I want to go back and say that when I was a young kid, I remember being in like junior high school, and I remember looking at the teacher and thinking, I wonder if she notices me. And I thought, did not feel normal. What junior high age kid walks around thinking, is that teacher noticing me? But that's how I felt at times, not all the time. And then there were other times when I felt weird or felt not right on the inside around certain environments or certain people, that it was like maybe feeling a little bit like broken or like a kid inside. But I'm a grown woman. Why do I feel like this? Well, during this time, when I was going through this, I would call it, when I look back now, as kind of a dark time in my life. And I want to say that on the outside, I look pretty normal. And I am still coming to church, serving the Lord, living my life like I've always have. But it was a time, I think, that the Lord was beginning to do a new work. And I want to say that from the time I became a Christian to this time, the Lord has brought me through many, many things and revealed himself to me in many, many ways. But this was a time for this. And I was attending a class over here, and it was on Wednesday nights. And I think we were watching a video, and the video was, I think the title was, Becoming Who You Are. And it was, we'd come every Wednesday night and come in there and listen to it. And this particular time when I was watching it, the man that was doing the video, he said something that just totally rocked me. He said, if you were a baby, if you found a baby on your back porch, and what he said, what would you do with that baby? He said, wouldn't you pick that baby up? Wouldn't you love that baby? Wouldn't you kiss that baby? Wouldn't you take care of that baby? And he said, that baby didn't do a thing to earn for you to kiss that baby, for you to pick up that baby, for you to love that baby. That baby hasn't done a thing. The only thing is that baby is. That baby exists. And he said, that's how God feels towards you. And I'm sitting there, and I didn't know that was my issue down inside. I didn't know that that was my soul issue. And I remember sitting there looking at it, that video, and saying, what? What? That was my moment. I walked out of there, and let me tell you, I was not the same. I was not the same. I had, before this, I already shared a little bit of some of the ways I felt inside, but there was a facade that I carried around, and it was like, I'm pretty cool. I'm cool. That was a facade. That was my defense mechanism. And then I remember immediately thinking, the next day or whatever, it was like that coolness wanted to jump on me. And I remember, and I didn't do anything, but I remember thinking, that's stupid. Get away, you know? And then it seemed stupid to me after that. And then the other thing that I noticed, I had a confidence that I never knew. And so the thing that I got from that was that my soul, I want to say that I was raised in a family of 13 kids. And could it be, it doesn't even matter why. What matters is that that was my moment. And the only thing I can say for me, and this is the truth about me, if I have a problem or whatever, I know where to go. And I will not let go until I get what I need. I didn't know what it was I needed, but the Lord did. And so I wanted to share that to give you hope that it doesn't, when Christ said, I came to set the captives free, to open the eyes to those who are blind, that happens when you're saved. But as you're walking along your life, he's constantly healing us. He's constantly doing things in our life to bring us wholeness. Why? Because he created each of us unique. But when we are bogged down with so many issues that keep coming up at certain times, that it's like, oh, I thought I was done with that. And it keeps coming back. It's a soul issue, and it's also the enemy's tactic to keep you from being who you truly are. Because when you become who you truly are, then you can do what it is the Lord has put upon your life, the stamp he's put on your life. Anyway, that's what I wanted to share.
So good. Awesome. 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 So good. So, Ephesians 5:1. So who are we? It says this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Then on in Ephesians 5:20, it says this. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. So who we are is this. God is our Father, and we are his children. Okay? We are loved like that baby because we just are.
Yeah.
Because that's what fathers do, is they love their kids. That's us. And I think we can, I love that example, Mary, and I love talking about that because I can relate to that because I'm a father and I'm a son, right? So I've been on both spectrums. But even when it comes to the Lord, sometimes we have a hard time translating it to our relationship with God because our identity has everything to do with the fact that we are children and he is Father. Okay, if we read earlier in Ephesians 1, and this is really where I want to get to today, in Ephesians 1, verse 5, and it says this. It says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. He is our Father, we are his children, and he has adopted you. I thought I'd get cheers and applause. Not really.
We're in awe.
Yeah, speechless, right? We're adopted. And it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that word because, number one, I've never adopted a son or a daughter in the natural. I know many of you in this room that have. Right, I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but I think adoption is one of the most beautiful things in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
I do. I think adoption in the natural is, but then it's a picture of what God has done to each and every one of us in the spiritual.
Yeah.
Is adoption, and I think adoption is one of the main themes of the gospel. It's about a father that has adopted his children. And again, that word adopt, it's so hard for us today because it's such a common word. Because we hear about adoptions all the time. But it's a beautiful thing. And this morning, I want to be sensitive to the word adoption because I know that there's a lot of pain that can be attached to that. There's a lot of emotion that can be attached to that. And so I want to be sensitive to that this morning, but I want to look at the spirit of adoption today because it's a revelation that happened in Mary, that happened in me, that God wants to do in us when we talk about our identity. I love the spirit of adoption in the natural because it's a life that probably wouldn't have had a chance for success apart from adoption. I'm getting emotional because I'm getting old. But it's a beautiful thing. And the spirit of adoption is a reflection of the heart of a good father and a father that values human life. The spirit of adoption has more to do with the sanctity of life than anything else. And he loves adoption. And I think in order to really get it, and what happened to me 3 weeks ago when I was looking at adoption is I had to look back because, you know, we can probably go down to Kent right now if we wanted to, and I could probably go down to the local adoption agency, and I could probably open up a catalog, and I could probably look at pictures of kids, and I could probably, that one really likes, you know, this or really likes that, and, oh, that one would be a good fit. And how many of you know when the Bible was written, they didn't have orphanages? They didn't have catalogs with pictures of kids. And it was totally birthed out of something totally different. And I want to look at that this morning because I believe the issue of the sanctity of life was just at war 2,000 years ago as it is today. So when this was written in the Roman Empire, we've got to understand a few things about it. When Jesus was walking on this earth, being a kid was difficult. They say 40% of kids that were born in the Roman Empire, 40% died before they were 5 years old. That's huge. In fact, even at birth, with all the complications, I mean, thank God for hospitals today, but most families didn't even name their kids for a couple weeks because they didn't know if they were going to survive. So 40% of kids, and you know, parents, you know, kids can be the biggest blessings in the world. They can be exhausting. I've heard it said kids can be expensive, right? Four of them can be more expensive than one, right? A seven or eight of them can be really expensive. But back in the day when we're talking about this, when a child was born, especially to a poor family that couldn't keep it, couldn't care for it, many times the children were just discarded in the woods, with the garbage. Yeah, pretty serious stuff. And it was just normal because they couldn't care for him, especially if the baby had any disability to it. It was almost a guarantee that we can't care for this, so we're just going to put this baby out. Girls, boys, and then the things that would happen. It's tough. It's not good. And so when we look at the life of Jesus, and Jesus says things like, bring the little children to me. And the disciples said, no, you know, the children, you got to sit in the back, children. And Jesus says, no, bring them to me. Why did he say that? Because he understood how important those children's life were to the kingdom of God. Because he knew the fight for that kid's life was real. And he saw value in those children and he said, bring them to me. Okay, Jesus changed the way that the world saw children. He changed the way they viewed them. Because Jesus was a product of adoption. Right? Remember Joseph, who wasn't his dad, said, I'm going to stick with Mary. So what happened is these Christians who'd have been impacted by Jesus, they saw the way Jesus would treat children. They saw the way that Jesus would bring them in, and they would then go out, not to the orphanage, but they would go out to the garbage pile, to the woods, and they would see these children, and they would bring them in to give them a life that they wouldn't have had without that. A hope that they wouldn't have had without that. Why did the Christians adopt? Because their belief directed their activity. Their belief, the revelation directed their activity. It wasn't just, oh, well, that's sad. No, it changed the way they thought. So why the spirit of adoption? Why does God do this? Because then I look at what he does in the spirit for us. Why does God adopt? Because he's a good father. You see, adoption is the result of the action of a father being moved towards a child. You cannot have a child go down to the adoption agency and say, hey, I want to be adopted, and we'll start the legal process. Adoption is a result of an action from a father. The father and the mother, they say, we're going to go adopt. Because they're good. The Bible says because of our sin, we were separated from God, right? That's what the Bible says. But when you come to Jesus, you were forgiven and you were adopted into his family.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. In spite of your function, dysfunction, ability, or disability, he said, I'm calling you mine. Regardless of what you've done or haven't done, because he is a good father. My generation and the generation below me needs to understand the power of adoption. Because you interview a high school student or a college student today about God, and they will say this. They will say, God probably might exist, but he's far away. He probably wants us to do good. And he probably is looking at us to figure out what good means. They don't understand that God wants to be a father to them. That he wants to show them what is good. You see, the revelation of adoption can change a young person's view on God. The revelation that I have of adoption can change a young person's view on God. Number two, identity changes with adoption. Think about it. I heard this powerful saying this week, and it said this. It says, an orphan has no ability to dream, but only survive. True story. True story. Survival is good, right? We all have moments where it's all we can do just to get through, right? If you have young kids, you're probably in that season, right? I'm just getting through. That's okay. But don't make that your lifestyle, right? Because God wants you to dream. Yeah. Survival is good, but God has called you his son and his daughter. And God has called you to not act like an orphan anymore that just survives. God, I know it says you love me, but like Mary said, I don't know if I believe it, so I'm just going to Keep doing it. But identity changes with adoption. We were not put on this earth just to do life and die. But you were put on this earth for a purpose. You know, I've heard it said and I've talked to many people. And oftentimes when you see an adoption happen in the physical, it can be a trying process. Especially if you adopt maybe an older son or daughter that has a memory and has experiences. And if you've been in this and you've adopted someone, you know what I'm talking about. You know it better than any of us. But issues of attachment, self-protection, right? Many of them don't want to open up their hearts because they're afraid they're just going to get rejected again. But we need to understand that when we're adopted into Jesus, our identity changes. We're no longer an orphan. Our name changes. Your name is different. You know, many kids that were adopted in the Roman Empire didn't even have a name. And those families gave them a new name. We've been given a new name. We're not marked by our sin any longer. Our inheritance changes when we realize that we've been adopted. We have a purpose. We have a hope. We're now legally a recipient of the inheritance of the kingdom of God. Come on, that is good news this morning. I want to say this as we get ready to wrap it up. That God will never leave you or forsake you. When he has adopted you, it's final. There's no outburst. He's not scared of your outburst. He's not scared of your ugliness. He's not scared of your sin. He adopts you in the middle of your dysfunction, and he's not scared of it. I think a lot of times in my walk with the Lord, I've put walls up because I think if God really sees the real me, he's not going to love me as much. Can I just tell you this morning, he's going to love you because he's already made the choice to adopt you? I think one of the worst things we can see in modern Christianity today is to have an adopted son or daughter still acting like an orphan. Does not receive love. Does not open up their heart. Does not engage in the family because they're still acting like an orphan. Everything changes with the spirit of adoption. Number three, when we're adopted, we get a new family. Come on. We get a new family. Ephesians 5:2, it talks about, and Christ loved us. If you read Ephesians, there's so many instances of us, we. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the church. He's talking about us. When we see adoption, adoption wasn't just a New Testament thing, but the spirit of the adoption is at the heart of God, at the core of who he is. One of God's main purposes, and we can see it all through Genesis, was, I want to be your God, will you be my people? God was after family from day one, and he's still after family in 2018. The process of adoption involves the whole family, doesn't it? It's not just the parents and the kids that were adopted, but the siblings are involved in that process. Right? For good and for the hard times. Adoption involves the whole family. When we get adopted by God, it's not just, okay, it's us, it's me and you now, God. No, we're adopted into the family of God. I love my family. Can I just say that? I love this church family, but I love my physical family. I love my mom. I love my in-laws, my sister-in-laws. I love them. We eat together. We do life together. We serve one another. We fight as family, right? We disagree as family. We have dysfunction at times, hopefully not too often, as family. We drive each other crazy because that's sometimes what family does. Amen? And I probably drive you crazy too because we're the family of God. But adoption is not just between us and God. Worship team, would you come up? Family is called to break bread together, to serve together. You know, this is why I don't like the whole podcast thing in 2018. You know, I know a lot of people that don't come to church anymore because they get their sermon online. Nothing wrong with that, right? I do that too. But there's certain things that they don't experience when they're not part of the family. God has called us into the spirit of adoption to be a part of a bigger family. And we're called to have a relationship with that family, to work it out with that family. We're going to sing, I'm going to have them sing that song we sang this morning as we close. I really felt just a few things, but I felt like there was the spirit of adoption that the Lord wanted just to release in our midst today. Because there's a revelation that has to happen in each of us that says, I am adopted by God. That he calls me his own. And that you're no longer an orphan. Okay, you're not an orphan. Right? And I probably have tendencies that still might act like an orphan at times. Like I said, God, you couldn't love me because I let you down. And he says, stop it. I've adopted you. I've called you my own. I've given you my name, Christian, and I've called you to be part of my kingdom. So my prayer today is this, that you would realize, like Mary, that you are loved by a Father, that there's nothing you can do that keeps your Father from reaching out and bringing you in as part of his family. And number two, that you would be healed from any tendencies that say, I'm just still an orphan. So can everyone just close their eyes? I want to pray. And I'm believing as I'm going to pray and then you guys can sing. But I just want you to open your heart to the Spirit of the Lord today. Because understanding that you've been adopted is a game changer. It changes everything. Father, this morning, God, we just come to you. Father, you know every situation. Father, you know why we act the way that we do, just as Mary shared, and we can go through the motions. And God, I just pray this morning for the revelation that we are adopted sons and daughters to be so real to each and every heart in this room. Father, I'm so grateful that you saw each and every one of us. Father, and that you reached out and you didn't just save us, but you called us sons. That you've adopted us into your family. And Father, I pray for anyone that still struggles with this topic. Father, where they still are struggling with, could you love me? Do you love me? They're still struggling with these fears that you're going to abandon them, that you're going to let them down, that you're not going to be there for them. Father, this morning, Father, would you speak truth into our hearts? Father, we respond to the spirit of adoption today. Father, that you adopt us because you value us. Father, that you've called us and you've given us a new identity. Father, you've called us to be a part of a family. Father, help us in our insecurities, Father, to walk as family, not just as an orphan. Father, help us in that process. I'm going to have Noah sing. Would you just sing and just respond to the Lord? You can sit there, close your eyes, but I just wanted you to receive for a minute today.
God of creation, there at the start before the beginning of time. There's no point in reference. You spoke to the dark and flushed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you made. Every burning star, signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I.
Let's stand this morning. Let's respond.
God of your promise, you don't speak in vain. A syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and signs that follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath. Evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I can see your heart in everything you say. creation still obeys you so alive.
I'd like to do a quick altar call. It's funny, you know, Jesus loves every one of us, and he wants to adopt us, but the truth is, some of us are still objects of his wrath. That's what the Bible says. And if you're not adopted into his family, if you haven't accepted that, you're still an object of his wrath. It's not his desire, it's reality. If you want to escape that wrath, if you want to come into the family, I want to invite you to come. I'm so upset. Because it's true. But it's not his desire. It's not his reality. It's the reality right now for some of us. So come escape the wrath, not to escape the wrath, but to be part of the family. You can come to the front. Someone will pray with you, explain what's involved, count the cost. You just invited. I felt like I needed to make that invitation. It's your choice to come or not. But it's his longing to adopt you.
I'm gonna pray today. Here's what I want to do. I just close your eyes, and I don't want an opportunity to go by. But if you don't have Jesus in your life, today's the day. So would everyone close your eyes? Because we have a Father that wants to adopt this morning, wants to bring you into the family. So would everyone just repeat after me today? Say, Jesus, I'm asking you today to come into my heart. I want to be a part of the family. Forgive me for my sin that separates me from you. I want to have relationship with you. I want a new life. I want to experience hope. I confess that I am in need of a Savior. And I ask for you to fill me today. Amen. So this morning, if that's you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or made a commitment in your heart, I want to encourage you afterwards. We'd love to talk to you and pray for you. But we're going to go this morning in his name, knowing who we are, who he's called us to be. Amen? Amen. Let's go out of here as sons and daughters of God. Amen. All right. Noah, you can keep playing. If you need prayer, please come up afterwards. Other than that, you're released.